You're listening to Potential Cast. This is a season 2 wrap-up. After her death at the hands of the Master and a summer vacation spent with her father, Buffy returns to Sunnydale in a strangely withdrawn and snappy mood. She's also determined to break off her relationship with Angel and seems a little too eager to renew her Slayer training. But getting Angel out of her blood proves to be harder than she thought. And as the two draw even closer together, their passion erupts into a danger neither of them could have foreseen, affecting not only Vampire and Slayer, but all of Buffy's friends and family, and even her Watcher.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And that's it.
And together we are Gax.
Gax again.
When was the last time we were just Gax?
Episode 2?
Really?
I don't remember exactly.
Wow.
I don't remember exactly how far ago it was, but boy, it has been a long time. Mm-hmm. We've been blessed with guests. We've been extraordinarily fortunate to have wonderful people come on the show, people that have watched the show, people that have worked on fan fiction, people that have their own podcasts about the show, people that are watching along with us for the first time, although I think I caught Kelly Jo moving already onto season 5.
I was watching her.
Well, she was on a cruise. I guess she didn't find the shuffleboard entertaining. But I think I saw she was on season 5 or something already, which is quite something. Kudos to you, Kelly Jo, for your very quick absorption of Buffy.
Whatever.
Cheater.
Well, I know Moira's still chugging along with us.
That's good.
Yeah, because she has Battlestar Galactica.
She's doing BSG. Yeah.
But it's tough. If I wasn't doing the podcast, I probably would have watched the whole series already.
Mm-hmm. I think I probably would have, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, Kimberly, you think you're hooked? You think that if you weren't having to wait for the podcast, you would really be into it?
Yes and no. Like, there's some episodes I get more amped up for. Like, I think if I had my own way after Innocence, I would have watched every day until the series was done.
But oh, okay.
Since we've sort of taken we're doing it week to week, my enthusiasm wore off. But it's still there. Like I'm not gonna. It sounds worse than what I'm saying, but I wouldn't say that I'm a hardcore fan yet. But I am enjoying the show.
Okay. What about you, Gabby?
It's been really hard not to start season 3 and keep on going. So I've been trying to bide my time with other stuff. So I've gone back to rewatching Arrested Development. I can't wait for us to finish recording, because I swear to you, the first thing I'm going to do is start watching season 3.
I'm going to wait till probably Tuesday. Well, that's because I don't have season 3 and I'm waiting for my complete Buffy series. No.
I thought you watched ahead to episode 3, season 1.
No.
That was someone else I got.
Yes, not me. I'm still in the hole. She stabbed her boyfriend. And launched him into the vortex, and now she's Bill Bixby.
So, Illyrio, if we weren't doing the podcast and you were just watching, would you have bought the series at this point?
I remember when I tried watching it a year and a half ago when you watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a certain... I got to when they introduced Seth Green. And I stopped watching. Because I figured, ugh, Seth Green. And then, you know, baby number 2 was a good sleeper. So there was not the same opportunity to have to lie down with baby to make sure baby sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
Thing that happened with baby number 1, where I got a lot of TV watching done. So I actually was doing other stuff instead, so I didn't get to it. I think I would continue to watch the show. I mean, it's difficult to say because I don't really, really know, but I will say that so far this is turning out to be what I think is the best written show I've seen in a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, and it gets better. Especially, I think season three is just so well written. Just technically. And hearing a lot of, because I listen to a lot of writers talk. And like Sean Ryan, that he writes, he is executive producer of the Chicago Code. He got started in Angel. He said he tried to get on Buffy because it was so well written, because how they go into act breaks. Every commercial break, it ends on a cliffhanger. It goes to commercial so well, if you'll notice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been noticing a lot of shows now how some just stop and go to commercial. It's not. It has no flow. The flow is just. But what's so funny about the writing is the only Emmy the show was nominated for, it was for Hush, which is in season four. And what's so ironic is that's a show that has very little dialogue in it. And for Joss Whedon to be known for his dialogue and to be nominated for that episode is just really funny.
And that was nominated for writing or just...
Yeah, I think so.
With the least amount of dialogue. That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure they were nominated for Emmys here and there for, like, you know, maybe makeup or whatever.
Were there ever any acting nominations?
Oh, goodness. Hold on. Let me look this up.
Because I have a feeling Cher Michelle Gellar might have been nominated, but never won. Right? Oh, no, I'm guessing.
I'm not sure. I'm sure they were nominated for, you know, whatever those sci-fi awards are.
Like a Teen Choice Award.
Yeah, I think she did win a Teen Choice Award.
Or People's Choice? Because I think Teen Choice is quite recent, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe in their last season.
Because as we all know, teens are not people.
Saturn Awards is what I was thinking about. Hold on, I'm still looking.
Yeah, it's funny. I announced on our Facebook group that I ordered the complete series, and two or three people said, "Ah, you're converted." I'm like, I don't know if that's the word I would use to describe. I mean, it isn't as if I was reluctantly being dragged in. You know, it's like, I mean, it's not like anybody had to dip my head underwater, you know, for me to say, okay, I'll buy Buffy.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's just more convenient to get it this way than to... Because there's no full series option on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm essentially going to get the discs. I'm going to have my significant other put them in my DVD drive so I don't get spoiled by CD artwork. And then I'll just go ahead and rip them onto digital format.
Yeah, the only thing that's been stopping me from buying the whole series is the fact that it's been available on Netflix Instant Watch. But then I understand April 1st, it's going away.
Oh, is it?
Well, yeah.
Hopefully it'll come here because we don't have it up here on Netflix.
Maybe it will. I'm going to have to buy Angel. Yeah, Teen Choice Awards just about every year, TV Guide Awards.
Okay. excuse me.
GLAAD Awards. Emmys, makeup in 98, they won.
For season three?
For like Surprise and Innocence.
Oh, wow.
Season two. Nominated in 2000 for like hairstyle and
wow, hair watch.
Any wardrobe or
outstanding writer for a drama, outstanding writing for a drama series in 2000 for Hush was nominated. Nice. Makeup. Music. Once More With Feeling got music. Visual effects, CGI.
That's the musical episode, right? Once More With Feeling?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what season is that in? Six?
Season six, yeah.
Right.
We're never going to get there.
Of course we will. Are we there yet? Maybe that should be a segment at the very end. The Are We There Yet segment. We have 116 episodes left.
Well, we just have to just enjoy the ride.
Yeah. Honestly, we laugh about it now, but before we know it, we're going to be like, I can't believe this is the last episode. Mm-hmm.
It'll be sad.
I can see it. Yeah.
Yes.
We got a lot of How I Got Into Buffy emails.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Do we want to look at feedback?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Let me just open it up.
I'm going to read this one from Savannah Wooten while you're opening it up. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, no spoilers ahead, promise. Just a little note, don't read this unless you've already watched I Only Have Eyes for You. You have been warned. Hey Gax, I'm Savannah, a new listener from New Zealand. Yay for the land of sheep and whatnot. I've only recently started listening to podcasts, and yours was the second I started after the Hellmouth podcast, so obviously nice. I heard about your show from Brian. I'm currently in the process of catching up, but I have listened to your most recent episodes as well, Phases, Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered, Passion, and Killed by Death. It's interesting listening to your more recent opinions while also listening to your opinions upon starting out. May I just say how jealous I am of you, Gak. I'm an avid member of Buffy fandom, and when I first started watching, I was so spoiled. I knew about Jeannie's death, the fact that Angel was a vampire. When Gabby was spoiled for that, I laughed out loud. I pretty much everything major that happened, I knew about.
Bad Kimberly.
I thought it was common knowledge. I thought everybody knew that.
Yeah. It's like a trip down memory lane. It's great to listen to first timers through the series who haven't been spoiled, even though it gives me a sad feeling sometimes. Next week, when you will be covering the episode I Only Have Eyes for You, which Stephanie co-hosted with Brian on the Hellmouth podcast, by the way, great job, by the way, Steph. This episode is brilliant in that we get to see Bangle back again in a very unexpected and interesting way, and watching the different ways the scene is played out is another great experience. The episode is an episode that people either love or hate, although I was actually surprised to find that people hated it, but I suppose that's true of every Buffy episode there is. I can't wait to hear your opinions on it, and hearing Steph discuss it with other people will be great too, Savannah. P.S. Any chance to guest host with you would be very welcome. I love discussing Buffy episodes with others. Oh, Savannah, sure. I will put you on the list.
On the backup list. Savannah, hope you're doing well. Hope you're safe. Hope you're not near any of the earthquake damage in Christchurch. And thank you for your email.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we have a voicemail we should play.
Ooh. Yes.
It's the Google Voice. Mine's all queued up and ready to go.
I'm ready.
Got it.
I am ready as well.
All right, so let's listen to this voicemail from, I think it's from Bianca. All right.
Hi, potential cast. This is Bianca calling.
Hi, Bianca.
Really love your show. I discovered you guys through Brian Curry's podcast, and You know, I listened to the Angel episode and then got hooked after that. It's really great to listen to you guys and kind of relive the series, and especially with all of your commentary and predictions, which are so fantastic. I can't wait till you guys finish watching the whole thing, so you can go back and listen to what you had to say about what you thought was going to happen.
I can't wait for that.
As the series went on, because it really kind of is remarkable and hilarious. But I am calling because I just watched the I Only Have Eyes for You episode. As I've been listening to your show, I kept thinking, like, I can't wait till they get to this one or this one or this one, and I didn't want to listen because I'm just excited for you to get to the really good episodes. But finally I was like, I just have to watch with them. So this particular episode is great because, you know, you get to see Giles tackle somebody, first of all. There's a major bra watch moment at the beginning. You've got some, you know, Snyder watch and Drew moments and, you know, a lot of really great lines that I'm sure you guys will touch upon. And Spike is my favorite character. So at the end, with that great reveal, you know, you just can't imagine that ever happening. And I think this episode is particularly fantastic because you think it's just going to be sort of a regular, weird, mystical, you know, occurrence, but things unfold in really profound ways and with some serious arc bases. And, you know, it's really, really hard not to spoil on anything. You can see why Steph didn't want to talk about the wheelchair a few weeks back. So, you know, you hear people say all the time, like, you're great, and all your predictions, and it's true. Keep up the good work, and I can't wait until you guys finish season two. Bye.
Bye, Bianca. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And, yes, the watching Giles tackle somebody was awesome. I concur.
Giles has been a surprise. I like that he's not just a nerdy librarian who's always telling Buffy what she should be doing when she should, you know. I'm glad that he can actually practice what he preaches, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Loving it.
Taryn Miller. Season 2, Taryn writes us, "Hello, Gaxon guest." No, you're wrong, Taryn. It's just Gax today. "This email is for your Season 2 recap episode, since I missed the deadline for becoming part 2. Whoa, what a season, right? A lot of people think second season is the best, and although it's not my absolute favorite, it is definitely up there. I love how it starts off slightly better than season 1 and just keeps getting better,
better.
Up until the season finale, which was epic. This season was so powerful, and so many people were able to relate to it. The metaphors got so much deeper, and the writing drastically improved, along with the acting, directing, etc. This is the reason why Buffy has so many passionate fans, even though it ended many years ago. A lot of the stuff you've seen so far will come into play in season 3, and I guarantee that you're going to love what's to come. I can't wait to hear all your reactions. And I am going to congratulate you all on your self-restraint." This is poignant. We were just talking about this. "I think you have to be superheroes to watch Becoming Part 2 and then not immediately rush into season 3. Keep up the great work." Thank you, Taryn.
Thank you, Taryn.
What did you guys do when it was on? You had to wait like 4 or 5 months through the summer to watch the next episode. Oh, crazy.
Ooh, here's one from Joe.
Joe. Anyone?
Oh, Kim, you should read it in a British accent.
How about not?
Gabby, do you want to try out your British accent?
Oh, no. I would not do that. But I will read it.
Okay, good. Go.
"Hey, Gax. Plus, here's another one. What I'm sure will be an extravagantly beautiful and witty special guest." No special guest. "I have finally, as written, gotten off my arse, or rather onto my arse, and sent you guys an email. As Illyrio hinted at in Go Fish, I did indeed start watching with Chris, when you guys started the podcast. I figured it was a great excuse to start the series. Unfortunately, I have barreled ahead somewhat, and I am now almost midway through season 7.
Wow, Joe.
Yeah.
No self-restraint at all, Joe.
Yeah. Annoyingly, spoilers become no less of a danger at this stage, and in fact are more annoying as I'm so very close to the end. Mm-hmm. I recently got spoiled through careless Wikipedia browsing.
Yeah.
Damn you, Wikipedia.
I bet it's the same thing I got spoiled on.
There were a few other things that got spoiled for me during the watch, but I find that often seeing how they happen is a lot of fun, so yeah. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
Also, been loving all the Doctor Who references that have cropped up recently, obviously. Think I've been lucky enough to bag myself the only Buffy episode that has a Doctor Who reference in it as well. For the benefit of Steph, it's one of the season 6 ones. Sorry if this hasn't been the most interesting or hilarious you've ever received, but I'm horrendously bored at work. We'll try and send in another email / voicemail when you get to an episode I have stuff to say about. Peace out, y'all. Joe.
Thank you, Joe. And Gabby, you mispronounced voicemail. It's voicemail.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. For those of you who don't know, Joe and Chris has already been a guest on our lovely program. Well, look at me, all pretentious. Our program could be considered lovely. We'll see. the idea that Chris and Joe are into Doctor Who is an understatement. They have the 11th Hour podcast, a Doctor Who podcast with Chris and Joe that they release as Doctor Who airs. And if you don't know what Doctor Who is, you're lame.
Well, sorry.
Oh, Joe sent an addendum.
Yes, he did. This is awesome.
This is hilarious. What does he say?
What does it say? It says, "Whoops, forgot to give praise and fawning to Illyrio. All hail our Canadian overlord." But seriously, thanks for a great podcast, guys. It's about the only thing that keeps me sane at work. Don't know what I'll do now that I've caught up. Insert homoerotic comment about Spike here. Joe.
Awesome. Oh, the guy from Torchwood.
The guy from Torchwood.
Awesome. Oh, we have some How I Got Into Buffy. Or do you want to do one more season to wrap up, and then we'll do a couple of the How I Got Into Buffy's ones?
Sure.
Whatever. Sure. Yeah.
Kim, read Shelley's.
Shelley, let's go back. Shelley Roth, here we go. Hi, Gax and guest, if you have one for this special wrap-up show. Obviously, I have not
heard... cover all your bases, yes, Shelley.
Obviously, I have not heard your Becoming podcast, but from what I know...
I'm working on it!
I'm sure you are not disappointed. I cannot tell you enough how much I've enjoyed listening to each and every one of your podcasts, giggling along with you, being amazed at some of your predictions, and smirking at others. I won't tell you which. So this season was a roller coaster, both in terms of being a mix of brilliant episodes and sodding ridiculous episodes. Even those were fun. And also because of the frequent shocking twists and turns for the characters and their relationships. And of course, I love this season because there were lots of gorgeous and deliciously evil folks. Oh, devilishly works as well. Mm-hmm. But mostly I feel that this season was about Buffy, a slayer with family and friends, who is forced to grow up too quickly and make one of the most difficult decisions anyone would ever have to make.
No, I would have stabbed him.
All by herself, she sacrificed her true love to save the world. I actually re-listened to your Prophecy Girl podcast to get an idea of where you all were way back in September. Most of you had bought into the show, but were still tentative. After conquering many monsters of the week, Buffy and her friends save the world and go off to party. You guys thought that was... So contrast that to where we are now, needing hugs and watching our ride off into the sunset also. And thank goodness we don't have to wait 4 whole months to find out what happens. Season 3 is nigh upon us, and if you enjoyed season 2, just wait. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Love you guys. Shelley.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thanks,
Shelley.
Shelley. So we asked you to send in some how you got into Buffy stories, and here's one from Chris Ferguson. Hey, Gax, I just finished your latest podcast and decided to send you an email. I just finished your latest podcast and decided to send you an email about my introduction to the Buffyverse. I started in middle school, watching random Buffy episodes in the morning before school. The only episodes I really remember from this are Go Fish and a couple from season 7. I liked it, but never really got into it. In freshman year, I broke down and bought season 6 because of the musical, and then season 1 a couple weeks later. Chris, I don't think that's the way you're supposed to do that, but let's read on. Then Harry Potter summer began. Remember the summer of 2007 when a Harry Potter movie and book were released in the same month? Needless to say, Harry Potter kind of took over my geek life for a good long while. Then, during Christmas break, sophomore year, I rewatched the episodes of Buffy that I already had. After finishing season 6 again, I decided that I needed to spend all of my money and free time on Buffy. After that, it was kind of a snowball effect. Buffy seasons 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7, then Angel, then Firefly, then Dollhouse, then every piece of media that had Joss Whedon written on it somewhere. Buffy, gateway drug. Keep up the good work. I can't wait for you guys to watch Becoming. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Chris is like Fox. He's watching stuff way out of order.
Yeah. Oh, and then he canceled it because something else came up.
Like Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Forgeticus! Steph, read Bob's How I Got Into Buffy.
Okay.
Please.
My wife and I saw the Buffy movie when it was released. Unlike a lot of people, I liked the title. We thought the movie was okay, but had little interest in the TV series since they are always worse than the movies they are based on. A few years later, during season 4, our nephew was living with us for a few weeks. We watched a number of TV shows that we normally didn't watch, including Buffy. That was enough to get us hooked, and Buffy was on in reruns 2 episodes a day, so we were able to go back to the beginning and get through season 1 in a little over a week. We got the DVDs, and since Angel was started watching that as well. I saw a very strange episode for my first Buffy episode, but can't say which without being spoilery. Interesting.
Thank you, Bob.
Bob, DM thanks, me. Bob. Let me know what it is.
All right. I think we have one last audio file.
Oh.
It's Bob again. He's talking to us about the end of season 2 and looking ahead to season 3. Nothing more spoilery than... he likes the season, lots of good episodes, so let's cue that up.
Hi, Gax, this is Bob DeGrand. I thought you'd probably get a lot of comments about Becoming, so I decided to send in some comments about after season 2, or between season 2 and season 3. I thought it was fun to go back and listen to your episode 0 to hear what you expected, and there were terms like campy and girly and... It's not going to change my life. It's not going to be like Lost. And probably my favorite, that you should turn off your brain and be entertained. By now, I guess you know that there's something special going on here, and you realize just how evil Joss Whedon can be. It's not going to be as easy to shock you in subsequent seasons, as you now know what he's capable of. Even during season 1, though, I doubt that you could have imagined that you'd find yourself liking Cordelia, or that Giles would be a badass, or that Angel would be both interesting and the big bad of season 2. So on to season 3. Not every season of Buffy is rip out your guts and stomp on them the way season 2 was. The seasons do have different feels to them. Obviously, after Becoming, there are a lot of loose ends to be tied up. Once that's done, it has an awful lot of good episodes, probably more than either season 1 or season 2 did. It also has... a lot of great characters. It introduces about 4 of my favorite characters for the first time, as well as some very good minor characters. So I think you're really going to enjoy this going forward. As it is the senior year of high school, anything that you would expect to happen during the senior year will happen. So stay tuned and enjoy it.
Right. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Awesome. Well, that's it for feedback, I think.
It won't change my life.
Sorry. I still stand by my sit back and be entertained comment. Mm-hmm. Turn off your brain.
The turning off your brain thing is not really involved. Mm. You know, because it is smart. You know?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
It is, isn't it?
But vampires don't exist in the real world. Just saying. Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Well, but it really, it's very, it's true to life as far as the emotions and the drama mm-hmm. go. It's just in a world where there's vampires and demons.
Exactly. take out the supernatural. It's just like regular kids, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As regular as you can have it.
So, okay, where do we want to start? Do we want to start, like, at the beginning of... how do we want to do this?
Well, maybe you should walk us through this, since, you know, it's like, at least the second time, if not third time, you've watched, and...
What
maybe
do you
want to do points overall? Things that stood out at us, maybe. Like, maybe things that we don't even have to think about. They're just there. They automatically pop up when we think about the season, perhaps. I know, for me, it was Jenny.
Yeah.
For me, it was definitely Jenny and her development and her involvement and how it turns out that she was actually not just a mild-mannered, super sexy computer teacher. she was actually a Calderashi, and that she was kind of, you know, she herself had a secret and she wasn't being completely honest. And I dying was so shocking that I didn't even realize that's what happened.
Yeah,
I was in complete and utter denial as we watched it, as we recorded the commentary. I what? No way. Really? I was totally convinced that he was going to turn her into a vampire and that would be maybe like a sub-arc or something with Giles, and he has a vampire girlfriend and Buffy has a vampire boyfriend. And then if they fix the problems, they can go on double date vampire dates, right? But no, instead they kill her. So, I mean, for me, Jenny, for me, it was also how more interesting Angel is when he's bad.
Yes. I hate Angel. How many times have I said that? Maybe 3 times a week. But I love Angelus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Morgan and her best friend. They talk about Angel's forehead. Angel's forehead. And they make fun of it, and they draw it, and they... And I told them today, I said, what you're talking about, that's brooding. That's what it is. That's what they're making fun of. They're making fun of how Angel broods.
They were like... He's going to burst out in tears every 5 minutes.
Yeah, they were like, oh, yeah, that's what it is. Okay.
Lordy. Mm.
But yeah, watching how you know, how putting Jeannie in the mix, how that affected Giles, how mm-hmm. they, you know, I really enjoyed watching their relationship, because they would take one step, they'd take 2 steps forward, and then something would take them 3 steps back. Mm-hmm. And then they would take a step forward, and then you thought that they were going to get back together, and then that night was the awful night.
The worst.
Yeah.
Poor Giles.
And let's see, let's talk about how Buffy went from, you know, when she first came back for the summer, from her summer vacation, she had... had the post-traumatic stress from being killed in Prophecy Girl. And she got through that, and she's still fighting this, battling. She's not accepted that she is the Slayer, really. Mm-hmm. She still wants to be the normal girl. And then by the end of season 2, she's finally accepted the fact. And it took her having to give up the love of her life or whatever to accept the fact that she is the Slayer. Give up those dreams of being normal.
Well, I think it's that, as well as realizing that she could lose her family and friends as well. Like, she has to do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just took her a while to figure mm-hmm. it out. But I really liked about this season as well is that the characters are beginning to really come into their own. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. each character has a purpose. They're not just randomly smushed together. Like, you yeah. learned at the end of the season, Willow's apparently really going to be a witch and do her witchly duty. So I'm wondering what... I don't say like Xander's going to have a special role, like he's going to be like a title, like a witch or a warlock or whatever you want to say. But I think he's going to do something within the next couple of seasons that's going to be his thing. You know what I mean? And then even Cordelia, maybe she'll have a bigger role than just, you know, being just there for comic relief and every now and then.
Instead of being part of Buffy's posse, they're like everybody's going to have an integral part to play.
Yeah, everyone's going to have their duty, you know?
You said duty.
So Xander's going to be something besides a mega douche?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just joking. Or maybe that's his power.
Oh, yes. I will screw you over with my selfishness. Watch out.
I think Xander is just a typical guy. You know, I just
That's
think
sexist,
he's...
Stephanie.
But, I mean, he's not perfect.
Incredibly sexist.
He has his flaws. They all have his... Buffy has her flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Willow has... I mean, they are... I think Joss loves these characters enough to make them very, very real and give them all their mm-hmm. flaws.
Mm-hmm. But I do think that Xander's going to get what's coming to him. Like, I think something, one of the girls or something, like, I think he will break up with Cordelia, and when he does, it'll be epic.
Hmm.
What's coming to? Do you mean because of his Willow said kick his ass, or just his overall, just in the end becoming kind of a jerk?
Well, a bit of both, you know, because the thing is, you can't be empathetic to just Xander all the time and be like, well, no. Well, he's like the everybody guy, you know, the nice guy. He should win every once in a while, but he's done some pretty, like Gabby was saying, pretty douchey things. And what goes mm-hmm. around comes around. So I think he's really going to have a bad... something bad's going to happen to him for being a douche, you know? Mm.
Karma's a bitch, Mr. Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope he gets his comeuppance because I'm still pissed. Not just that it... You know, that he could have said something that would have made things different, but it's just... Don't be like that. Like, there's no reason for you to be that selfish.
Well, like, you know what I mean? He's a teenager. Every teenager, not a guy or strictly guy. All teenagers are selfish.
I mm-hmm. guess.
All
not everyone.
Teenagers think that they're the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I sure did.
Mm.
But for season three, what I'm hoping for is that we'll get to learn more about each character. Like, now that we see how the group works, like maybe have like a couple centric episodes, like one on Willow, one on.
There are some really great.
Sounds familiar.
There are some really great Willow centric episodes and some really great Xander centric. I mean, just hilarious, fun, emotional and everything.
Is it safe to assume that Drew and Spike will be back? I mean,
because
they just kind of ran off in the horribly in the car with a bad tint job. So I'm assuming I'm going to see them in season 3, episode 1.
No.
Wow. Okay. So are we going to have to wait till like season 4, season 5 or something? I mean, don't spoil me, but I'm just like just putting it out there. I'm really hoping that they come back sooner than later. I'd hate to have to wait like a whole season before they come back.
I think that there's going to be some great characters. There's going to be enough for you to satisfy you, to keep you from
feeling like I'm waiting too long, regardless of how long it might take, because you don't want to spoil it.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I won't really notice how long they're gone because I'll be entertained.
Yes.
But with my brain switched on.
So I think it was Bob's voicemail. He was talking about how this season there's 4 or 5 characters introduced that are...
Seems like a lot.
Really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just hoping it's not like a Nikki and Paolo thing, no?
No.
They're really good characters.
Yes. I'm trying to think of who he's talking about. I can think of 2 off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any more.
And are these characters like brand new characters, or were they like Jonathan's, where they had
brand
nothing
new,
to do? Okay,
brand new characters will come in. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Hmm.
I like to hear that.
Very cool.
So, what are your predictions, Gabby? And Illyrio.
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I don't know.
You know how season 1 it goes along, and then season 2 starts, and season 2 feels a lot like season 1. Maybe it is a little better than season 1, but it has that same feel. Well. Mm-hmm. All right, season 2, halfway through, changes the tone drastically. Mm-hmm. The tone pretty much continues into season 3. It's almost like season 1 ends right before Surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's almost like season 3 starts with Surprise and Innocence.
Hmm.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, it's like one of those moments where, when everything started to look different, it felt different. It was like the shit gets real moment in Buffy, where it just got serious.
Well, yeah, and I was watching when she was bad, and it was still so awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Just how season 1 was, it was like the actors didn't quite get the dialogue, or the dialogue wasn't the dialogue. Maybe the dialogue was stilted or awkward, but somewhere, maybe what's my line? Or not what's my line, but maybe Lie to Me. Somewhere in there, they started getting into the rhythm of it, and it was just so much better, easier to watch, felt more comfortable. And then just took off from there, and the writing just seemed so much better, and the acting is so much better.
Mm. And even the Monster of the Week episodes were less horrific.
This is true.
Painful to watch in some cases.
I really enjoyed Ted. I keep thinking back to that episode. I really enjoyed John Ritter's performance. Big time. Wow. Big time. Like, I beg to differ, little lady. Like, I will never forget those. I will never forget those words as long as I live. I beg to differ, little lady. Whenever I say to someone, I beg to differ, I smile inside. A big, huge smile. Because I'm not a robot.
It's ridiculous.
It was awesome.
I will say the last bit of that episode got better, but the entire episode, I was like, this is, why am I watching this?
I beg to differ, little lady.
Well, if I can have Go Fish, then Illyrio can have Ted.
Yay.
Take him.
But really, geez. In season 3, there are very few, just like maybe, okay, the first episode is a little iffy. It may be kind of divisive, where you either love it or hate it. And then the second episode, it's kind of a lame Monster of the Week. But after that, it takes off, and it's almost the perfect season. I mean, it's like I have hardly any faults with it at all.
Cool.
Does it continue to be serious and get serious and lose its humor, or does it continue to keep the humor throughout?
See, I want everything I watch to be like Buffy because I want the melodrama. I want in 1 second to be crying, and the next minute I want to hear a razor sharp, witty line. You know, mm-hmm. Buffy is always has that. It always has that. 1 minute it's sappy melodrama, and then the next minute it's, you know, funny, witty dialogue. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's always like that. It never gets too serious.
That's good. And I like the balance between that. And I think that they're really getting better at it. And once they completely get into the groove of it, then I think I'll really get into the show. Like, maybe I'll even watch ahead a couple episodes and not tell you guys. No, I haven't done that, though, but I'm just saying maybe I might.
Well, you accidentally went ahead and...
Yeah.
That
was funny.
That was an unfortunate numbering issue by the copy that I was watching.
I'd like to get back to Kim's question of what Gabby and I predict. I don't think I can predict anything because I don't think it's a predictable show.
What would okay then?
You know what I mean?
Let me rephrase it. What would you like to see happen?
I'd like Oz to be a better boyfriend. I'd like Xander to get his comeuppance.
Uh-huh.
I'd like Giles to. I want Giles to kick someone's ass again.
Yes.
That was awesome. Uh-huh. And I want Cordy to keep getting smarter. I think they kind of stunted that a little bit in the middle of season two. She didn't really advance in the like in the IQ part of things.
Well, she's a very smart girl. She's just
But I want her to keep getting smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter. You know what I mean? And I'm hoping that if they do bring in a new computer teacher, she's as sexy as Jenny Calendar was.
What if it's a dude?
I hope he's as sexy as Jenny Calendar was. Because dudes can be sexy, you know. And then they go and hang out with Calista Flockhart. I don't understand. Stupid Harrison Ford. And I hope we don't have to wait too long for Buffy to come back and deal with stuff.
What about Principal Snyder?
I hope we get into that whole the city council and the mayor and that whole backstory thing, but I don't want it to take up too much of my time.
Like, I hope it's not like some like committee that brought Buffy there and they're watching her and like what's that like what's that Matt Damon movie that's out now?
Oh, the Adjustment Bureau.
Like, no, there's some Adjustment Bureau forcing Buffy to do certain things. So I don't know. Yeah, I am looking forward to it, so I'm not gonna.
I don't know. I don't really have a wish list. I just want to get to watching it and see what happens.
In season three, I don't remember if I asked this, but in season three, Seth Green, he's a regular character this time, or is he still guest starring?
Yes, he's a regular cast member.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. We can look forward to our first, our only Christmas episode.
Ooh, Christmas.
That's nice. Not very Christmassy. It's very nice. I really like it.
Oh. are there going to be any Christmas trees that are trying to attack anybody in the Christmas episode? Gosh, because that would be weird.
No.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Well, you never know. The Tree of the Week episode or something.
You never know. Any woodland creatures? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No. after that, Buffy's 18th birthday.
Oh, no. Not her birthday again.
Well, senior year every high school, come on, prom, right?
Ooh.
Isn't that a big one?
Prom, yes.
Graduation?
Yes.
Is stuff going to go down at graduation?
To say the least, yes.
Amazing.
Is Cordelia going to be valedictorian?
Or prom queen?
You
can't. Well, we don't expect you to answer. So.
No. Not, no.
Well, okay.
Are any buckets of blood or, I don't know, any humiliation at prom going to?
No, the exact opposite.
Okay.
Oh.
Duh.
Guys,
are Giles? Is Joyce going to find love?
Giles.
Okay, maybe I do want to see something in season three. Maybe it's Gois.
Gois.
Not Gillow.
Not Gillow. I don't know. Part of me wants to see lots of Gillow.
Maybe post high school. I don't know.
Maybe in the comics.
Maybe in the comics.
Oh.
But, I mean, it's just, like I said, it's just really sad that in season three, I just hate it that Joyce knows now.
Mm-hmm.
Because.
Sorry.
I mean, I just love the innocence of when they were teenagers, and I mean, it's nice to see them grow up and age a year each season, but I just feel nostalgia for the high school years and just the innocence of it.
I just thought of something. If they're getting ready to graduate from high school, Giles is the librarian at the high school. If they go to college...
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Wait a minute.
The thing is, you know, the metaphor...
Does Sunnydale have a community college?
The metaphor, okay, is high school is hell. You know, and so when they do graduate high school, the show has to become something else because it's no longer high school is hell. And I just remember the first time I watched it, wondering how I was really excited after season three to see what they did next. Morgan, shut up. And then you were thoroughly disappointed. No, I was not.
It's okay. We know Steph hates everything.
Except for torture scenes.
Yes.
In the cage at the library. I don't know.
I really hope they don't come back to the school when that's like their hangout.
Xander's picking up high school chicks.
It would make sense.
I wish I hadn't been such a douche in high school.
The bronze. Are we going to see the bronze in season three?
Ooh, maybe there's a bronze annex at the college.
Like the peach bay?
Yeah. The bronze after dark. Wait, no. The bronze in the morning.
Dark.
bronze AM. It turns into a little coffee shop. Bronze bucks.
They do have pastries.
Yes, they
yeah.
Do. And animal crackers.
Awful t-shirts. Are we ready to rate the season?
Oh.
I guess.
Or do we have any more points?
Oh, no.
I have to say, Bra Watch took on a life of its own. I think, I don't know if I'm prepared to say that Buffy's changed my life, but Bra Watch has changed my life. to a certain extent. I mean, we took something that was inspired by the 11th Hour podcast, the Doctor Who podcast with Chris and Joe, when they did their crack watch for season 5 of the new Doctor Who revival. and took it and made it into something quite ridiculous and awesome. and I want to thank Gabby for all her diligence.
Oh,
you know, it's not hard to see all those tiny little straps on that tiny screen on your iPhone. Kudos to you, Gabby.
Thank you.
Kudos.
When you watch the show on your iPhone,
yes,
like it's so tiny. I guess you still get the full effect of the show. Wouldn't you want to watch on a bigger screen?
Well, no. When I've tried to watch it on a... See, this has been the problem. Our TV's huge, mm-hmm. and when I try to watch it, because I've been watching it on Netflix, with Netflix Instant, mm-hmm. it's so grainy, and in the mm-hmm. scenes where mm-hmm. it's dark, I can't really see much. So it's actually easier for me to see stuff on the smaller screen of the iPhone.
Well, season 3 should be better.
Mm-hmm. I hear it's even better on an iPad, but I wouldn't know.
I'm going to know soon, but don't tell my significant other. Because every time I talk about getting an iPad, she's apparently on Twitter that 1 out of 1,000 times.
Well, we'll find Damn out you. More about them on Wednesday.
March 2nd.
Speaking I'm of so Twitter, excited.
I just sent you all a photo of a picture at my mother's house. She has this thing on her bookcase. And I just sent it to you. You have to see what it is.
I'm clicking the link now.
Hmm. I saw it and I started...
What the... Oh, my God! It's an orb of Thessala!
Oh, my God!
It has been there for years, and I just noticed it last
Holy shit. Your mom's...
I started laughing. I wish the picture was better because the flash wasn't working on my phone.
That's but awesome!
Your mom is...
I could your mom not is, stop laughing.
Your mom's a freaking elder woman. Kaldarashi.
It is funny.
Is your mother dabbling in the black arts?
But the thing is, it's funny for me is that I never noticed it. It has been wow. there.
That's pretty awesome,
five
Kim.
5 or 6 years.
Makes perfect sense. You know what? If she tries to explain it away as a paperweight, don't buy it.
No, I won't.
She's probably into the magics.
Maybe I'll use it to conjure up Angelus.
There you go.
You mean to take away his soul, not to give it back to him. Oh, my gosh.
The orb taketh and the orb giveth away. No. I messed that up.
Oh, that's funny.
That's great.
Wow. Yeah, I had a weird Buffy moment today. We were watching An Idiot Abroad on the Science Channel here, and they keep playing a commercial for, I guess, on March 6th, the Science Channel is starting to play Firefly. And then at the end of the commercial, they go, Firefly from creator Josh from Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And then I get all like excited. I'm like, I know him.
Firefly is awesome.
Firefly is awesome. But the fact that they had to reference it with Firefly from Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And then I got giddy. I got giddy at the mention of Buffy. And then again, Old Navy with the pants. They're bringing back the ankle pants, man.
And Steph bought a pair.
Yep.
Yes.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Can you take a picture of it and post it?
Okay. Yeah,
if
I got.
You have some wedge platform shoes, that would be even better.
I have a pair I can send you. My shoe do you wear?
I just thought of a perfect idea for the contest to give away.
Uh-oh.
Oh, uh-oh. What?
I think people should send in a picture of them dressed as a character of Buffy from seasons 1 or 2 in the fashions of the Buffyverse from seasons 1 or 2. And whoever has the most awesome / grotesque picture of their... 1996-1997 as seen on Buffy Fashions, I think should win the complete series on DVD.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
But they should not just... It can be either from the time or them dressed up today.
No, it has to be dressed up today.
I think it would be better if it was from the time as well.
No. See, this way they have to, like, pull things out of closets and such.
What if you gave away all your ugly clothes?
But
well, then, I don't know. I guess you're a big loser when it comes to our contest. This is the complete series, Kim. This isn't like, you know, a potential cast t-shirt or a sticker or a magnet or a mug.
All right.
This is the complete Buffy the Vampire series in one package.
All right.
You know, I think people should have to take a picture now of themselves trying to recreate a look on Buffy. Let's maybe mull it over, but I think that would be a really good idea.
Well, I was going to suggest that they should send in a fanfic from either season one or two.
Yeah. But I hate like fanfiction.
Well, but
and I don't want to have to read any of it. Do you know what I mean? Where I can look at a picture and go, oh my God.
Well, really easily. That doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah. I have yet to read any like that.
But I like the idea of the picture, though.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's funny.
I think it would be awesome.
It's better than, hey, if you see anybody out in the real world with visible bra strap, take a picture and then post it.
Post it to us from jail.
That's stalkery.
And as you regret doing that and finding yourself on a what is it the sex offender registry in your neighborhood, you can find comfort in the fact that you're going to get some DVDs in the mail. Yeah.
That you can watch when you're released.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to mull over all the details and specific details of this contest, and we'll post the official rules and regulations on the Facebook group. But does everyone agree that that's a good idea, or should we think about it some more and maybe?
That sounds great.
I love it.
I think it's fantastic.
Okay.
And I will participate even though that I can't win it.
Awesome. I will also participate even though I can't win it.
Hmm.
Gabby's like, hell.
And I was like, yeah, good for y'all.
I cannot agree to participate.
Oh, I have a Speedo, ladies.
God.
Wait a minute. I do have a fuzzy backpack somewhere.
And I have an egg with tentacles. So take a picture of yourself dressed as not a character from the show necessarily. Dressed as a
character from the era.
As a
late 90s, early 2000s.
Late 90s, early noughts.
The more pleather, the better. Fashion.
Oh, gosh.
Victim. The higher.
No. I don't think we should have any specific fabric or similar fabric requirements.
Yeah. From
so,
if you have the zigzag parts in your hair.
Wow. I forgot all about that. Stop giving people ideas. Okay.
Guys, if you can find a shirt with one solid stripe straight across it, that would be great as well.
I believe in my closet. My husband may have a sweater or two like that.
So take a picture of yourself dressed as a late 90s, early 2000s fashion victim.
Yes.
Whoever is the most awesome / tragic wins.
Ooh, why necklaces?
Again, this is not going to be a contest where people have to dress like a character from the show. It isn't how accurately you look like someone that we've seen. So, you know, guys, just tucking your shirt into your pants that should not be tucked into your pants, a la Jonathan, does not qualify.
Ooh, right? Tapered pants?
Tapered. Ooh, tapered pants.
Tapered, yes. Tapered acid wash
yes,
jeans.
Yes, stone wash jeans.
High waist.
That come to your waist.
Mama jeans.
What? Jeans used to go to your waist?
Mm-hmm. They went to your
waist. And you didn't flash people when you squatted down to
this is true.
Tie your shoe.
Anything with skinny suspenders? Suspenders.
Wow.
Flannel.
You know, frankly, makeup. Extra points for any bedazzling. Right, ladies?
any type of
suggestion. So, again, if you're listening to us right now talking about this, official, final, committee-approved rules and regulations will be on the Facebook page as soon as possible and in tandem to this episode being released. And we welcome you can enter as many times as you want. But that will not play into whether or not you have a chance to win. And you can submit this at... PotentialCast@gmail.com.
Do it.
So if you don't, so if you're not part of the Facebook group, you can still do that. And also, I will also be posting the full details on PotentialCast.com because I know that some people aren't on Facebook, and I'm not going to penalize people just because you don't like Mark Zuckerberg and you don't want to make him any money. I understand. Awesome. Good. So,
that's
I'd like to rate the season if I could.
Sure.
I'd give it a solid 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're grading it on a curve compared to season 1, there's no question. But I know that we still have 5 more seasons to play with, right? 3, mm-hmm. 4, 5, 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I agree. I'll give it a 8. Out of 10 seasons.
It's just so weird because it's such a drastic difference from the first episode to the last episode. It just changes in the middle so quickly that it's just so hard for me to give it an overall. But I would say, 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say first half of the season 6. Second half, 10. So that's where you get your 8 from.
Yes, exactly.
Sure are good at math.
I sure is.
Gabby?
Well, I will concur with the 8 out of 10 as well. It is not perfect, but it is a hell of a lot better than season 1. Although season 1 was entertaining, but there were...
I think it was entertaining for the wrong reasons because we were laughing at it, not with it.
This is a very good point.
Yeah, it's just, I'm sure if you're 16 years old and you watch season 1, you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We were just not the audience for season 1.
I suppose.
Hmm.
Although I enjoyed it. It was just, there were those moments where like, really?
Yeah.
And there are fewer of those moments in season 2.
Yes. And there are even fewer as we go until a certain point.
What? Interesting. I wonder when we'll get to that point.
Stiffening.
No, I didn't bother to research any overarching quotes.
Me neither.
No.
So how about instead of quotes, how about favorite character this season for anybody?
And jealous. So sorry, anybody?
Come on. Ooh.
Not listening to the podcast?
Gabby, can I just pin you in as Spike?
No, he's not my favorite character for the season.
Okay. Oh.
Oh. Let me see. It's kind of a tie. I mean...
Oh, no. Cop out.
Well, no, because... Okay, fine. If I have to pick one, I'm going with Willow.
Hmm.
Yes. It's interesting to see where she may be going. I don't know. But she's not that mousy little girl anymore. That's for sure. She's now creepy. And she's creepy and she's into the magics and doing stuff with it. So, I'll go with Willow.
Had she survived the whole season, it would have been an easy one for me. It would have been this calendar. But because she's dead and forgotten, I'm going to say Cordelia.
What?
Really?
Yeah. I think that the growth and the progression and the added dimension that Cordelia was given, I'd say that for season 2, because, Jenny Calendar is disqualified, I'd say Cordelia.
Well, yeah, I think she was much more likable this season because she wasn't so much of a blatant bitch that she was in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see why she's more likable, but I, That one wasn't my favorite.
She was the voice of reason quite a few times. Well, she's kind of like the outsider, kind of like, guys, really? Maybe this is,
I still think she's a little bit in her own world, but but now she's like, hey, guys, remember me? You know, because she really wants to be part of that crew, but she's still okay for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Steph?
I don't know. Maybe Buffy.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny that
Buffy's on the show.
I've never really thought that before. It's just like with every time I watch it, you know, you just see it through different eyes every time you watch it. And I think Buffy this time has been my favorite character. Mm-hmm. Okay, when season two ended, are Xander and Cordelia, are they still together?
I hope so.
As far as
because,
we know,
yeah. I don't
okay,
know.
They had the fight in Killed by Death, but they kind of made up.
She brought him food.
She brought him donuts. And then...
she promised that she would bring him pool toys and go fish.
Okay, go fish. And then at the end,
she ran
at the
away.
Hospital. Uh-huh. Okay, all right.
I don't think she knows about his feelings towards Willow.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Hmm.
She may not even think of Willow as competition because she's so shallow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably not.
So she's probably oblivious to it, and then maybe she'll see that Xander look at Willow some way and she'll get all jealous or something.
She's probably insecure about the fact that Xander didn't do that on purpose. She's probably insecure about the way that Xander feels a connection with Willow that he doesn't feel with her. And I think that might come up more than just a look. I think it's less of a, I'm jealous because he's attracted to her. And I think it's going to be more of a, I'm jealous because she gives him something I can't.
Mm. How do you think Oz would react to that? Like, he catches on.
Oz. Catches on to what? I think it's one of the most obvious things.
Well, I won't.
That he has these feelings with Willow that are, that are kind of parallel to high school infatuation, but much more akin to a long-lasting relationship that is more complicated and has lots of platonic elements, but can also have these kind of below the surface romantic connotations. I don't think Oz is going to be fazed by it.
Does Oz think that? He knows that they have the relationship, yes, but does he have a feeling that Xander might feel a bit more towards Willow than he is letting on? Because I know that he knows that Willow had a thing for him because they had that scene in the car.
Yeah, yeah. But if they keep writing Oz the same way they've been writing him, then he will show, as a character, he will show the insight and intuition that has been his greatest quality. And he will, of course, detect and feel and be able to perceive those things.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was watching when she was bad, and I had just totally forgot about that first scene when Xander and Willow almost kissed until the vampire showed up and then there was Buffy. Yeah. And it's like, once Buffy was back, Xander was his attention went totally to Buffy, and he
no amount of ice cream on anyone's nose would,
would
turn his gaze away from Buffy.
And then he started the relationship with Cordelia. So
he's such a mutt.
Ugh.
A male slut.
Oh, I'm like a what?
Mutt.
Okay, I'm glad that you threw that up for me.
Mm-hmm. It was a term we used in high school.
So who's going to go watch season 3 episode 1 right now?
Me.
I may not have the willpower. I may actually buy the first episode of season 3 and watch it. So what's our homework?
Season 3 episode 1, Anne. Any speculation on what Anne means?
Hmm.
A person? Anne?
Mm-hmm. It's great. You're going to love it.
Is
she the new Slayer? Like the
one
that replaced Kendra?
I bet you Buffy wherever she's moved to, she's going by another name. And it's
yeah, there
that's
you go.
What I think.
And she's probably got like black hair and she's like a total.
That'd be funny. And she's wearing really long legged pants.
What?
And she's like a total goth. Then she comes back to Sunnydale and she's forced to become Buffy again.
But she can't go back to school.
Yes,
she's. She has to go back to school, right?
But
wait a second. Does Buffy even graduate? Is that why they have an extra season? Oh, God.
That'd be really funny.
Would she be welcome back to Sunnydale High?
Of course, because Principal Snyder is her is secretly watching her.
He's no gangsta. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good theory that she's Anne, that Buffy's going to be Anne.
Hmm.
But why would she pick such a boring name like Anne?
Well, she wants to be boring and ordinary.
True.
She wants to be a regular girl.
Like a plain.
Oh,
Jane.
Pinocchio. Sorry, Pinocchia.
Yeah. But she wouldn't have black hair because that make her no more noticeable. Unless she has like really mousy black hair with like bangs and glasses.
Oh, man. That'd be awesome.
Stop talking about me like that.
Well, if you want to tell us how crazy our theories are, feel free to send us a call at 27040Buffy. You can also send us a Gmail at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it again. You could also send us an email at, because I said Gmail before. You can join our Facebook group if you do the grouping of the face. And it's Potential Cast, all one word. Do a little search. Ask to join. Keep it spoiler free, please.
If you do the grouping.
I don't want to have to do another public service announcement at the beginning of one of our episodes. And potentialcast.com is where you can find show notes, direct download links. But please subscribe via iTunes. We'd love having subscribers. And we love having listeners, and we really appreciate all of you listening to us and participating and sending us feedback and joining the Facebook group and starting discussions. And we really, really, really enjoy doing this. But I think I speak for everyone when we say that we really enjoy doing it for all of you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, and tell your friends.
Oh, well, we have something in the works.
Yes, there is something in the works, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really understand exactly what he's wanting to do. But it's some kind of community call like on TalkShoe where we can talk. We can take calls and everybody can talk, and it's just something for the community to be able to participate. And so, I don't more details to be coming soon. So,
cool. Yeah, keep an eye on the contest rules and submissions are very much welcome and anticipated. We're really looking forward to seeing how awesome you look. Once again, thank you for joining us. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yay.
Oh, I need a hook.
I don't want to talk about things we've gone through, though it's hurting me. Now it's history. I've played all my cards, and that's what you've done too. Nothing more to say, no more ace to play. The winner takes it all, the loser standing small beside the victory. That's her destiny. I was in your arms, thinking I belonged there. I figured it made sense, building me a fence, building me a home, thinking I'd be stronger. But I was a fool, playing by the rules. The gods may throw the dice. Their minds as cold as ice. And someone way down here loses someone dear. The winner takes it all. The loser has to fall. It's simple and it's plain. Why should I complain? Like I used to kiss you, does it feel the same when she calls your name? Somewhere deep inside, you must know I miss you, but what can I say? Rules must be obeyed, the judges will decide. Likes of me abide, spectators of the show, always staying low. The game is on again, a lover or a friend, a big thing or a small, the winner takes it all. Come to shake my hand. I apologize if it makes you feel bad seeing me so tense. No self-confidence, but you see, the winner takes it all.